Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
Welcome back. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel. I'm Carrie Weber, along with Father Matt Malone, and we are speaking with Nicole Perrone, who is a student at Yale Divinity School. She is calling us from Rome, well fed on gelato and wine, although I think the wine was consumed long before this interview, so we're all right. And she was on a panel yesterday at called Voices of Faith in the Heart of the Vatican, with a number of multi-generational women talking about where the church is succeeding in allowing women into leadership positions and where the church has opportunities to grow. There's a panel of women from around the world sharing their stories of faith and leadership. Nicole, so I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about maybe one story of faith or leadership that really struck you during yesterday's conversation and panel.
So hard to decide, but I think one story that really struck me, and we had heard, I would say, many of these before because we spent some time together getting to know each other. But one thing that came up that we talked about as a panel was young women, so the intersection of the millennial voices with female voices, because as Carolyn Wu said, there will come a day when the knocking will stop. Women are knocking on the door of the church, but if we don't engage now, the young women will not knock. And so my fellow panelist, Gayatri, told a story of how, because she was young, because she evidently was giving off some vibe that was not Catholic enough, she was turned away in the communion line at a church that she was attending in India. And it really struck all of us on the panel that what needs to change, as much as we spent time talking about some really pragmatic and creative things, what really needs to be addressed in the church, I think, is a cultural shift about the way we perceive women and the way that the institution perceives women. Carolyn Wu also said that there's often this attitude of women being as though they are another species. They're this separate thing that people don't know how to deal with, which is a curious phenomenon. And so that topic of conversation really struck me and stayed with me. And I think that men and women both are guilty of it in the church. I don't think this is, you know, as we said, not punitive, but really an opportunity to reflect on how the church can just expand itself and be better.
Well, you're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel. We are talking about women in the life of the church with Nicole Perrone, who is in Rome and was there yesterday for International Women's Day and a very special symposium. Nicole, you know, the Pope has said specifically that, you know, we need to have a more incisive female presence in the church. He said that actually in his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium. He has called for a deeper theology of women in numerous interviews. He has appointed the first female as head of a pontifical university in Rome. Was there a sense yesterday that that there is a space opening up here in which we can begin to imagine anew the presence of women within our institutions?
Absolutely. I think that it really is a new day with Pope Francis in a lot of ways for the Catholic Church. And I do feel that in the room, any time Pope Francis's actions came up, there really was a feeling of being heartened and knowing that, you know, we understand the church moves slowly on things. It's a 50 to 100 year cycle for things to happen. No one wakes up in the church and the next day everything has changed. And it is absolutely commendable that Pope Francis has done such things as the first female head of a pontifical university. We also commended him yesterday for having wonderful gender distribution on his advisory council regarding the sex abuse crisis. That was so important that it's not just about appointing women, but appointing invested women who have the experience in those particular areas and can do the job to the best capacity. So I do think there's a lot of hope and a lot of feeling that positive change is coming, and not change that will knock down the walls of the Vatican, but really build up the church in holiness and strengthen it in the ways it can serve the world.
And there has to be a kind of reimagining of the, or a decoupling of the clerical state and power, doesn't there? I mean, it seems to me that, you know, if we accept the magisterium's teaching on ordination, it is still the case that there are lots of positions of leadership and responsibility in the church today that are filled by priests that don't necessarily need to be filled by priests. For example, I mean, why is it necessarily the case that a priest has to be the head of a Vatican congregation, or a priest has to be the papal nuncio to a country to represent one head of state to another? You know, there's a kind of, I mean, I think people are starting to ask those questions, are they not?
They are. And we mentioned that yesterday when we were giving some creative space to thinking about ways that the church could develop the, as you said, incisive female presence. One thing I said was, it is curious to me that the Pontifical Council for the Laity and the Pontifical Council for the Family are filled by priests.
Yeah,
those are the heads of those. It does, yeah. And it's not a read on the capacity of priests. It's just a perfect example of a space where the conversation, the clerical capacity, doesn't need to be at play.
Right.
That conversation doesn't even need to come to at all. It would make all the sense in the world that a lay person would be the head of the Pontifical Council for the Laity. It all comes together. Just so someone who is involved in a family as the Catholic Church defines it, you know, perhaps a person who is a parent, therefore a lay person. This could be also a lay man. But those are, as you said, sort of the obvious and very easy without even going near the question of women's ordination. And not every woman wants to be ordained or feels called to ordination. So why not utilize their extraordinary gifts and the ways they want to serve the church in that capacity?
You're listening to America This Week, and you can join the conversation at 888-322-8465. Give us a call. We're talking about women in the church with Nicole Perrone. Nicole, a lot of these spots, these places that you mention, would be prominent roles of women in leadership in the church. And I think and on some level, the prominence of women in leadership is really important, because there's that saying of, you can't be what you can't see. And that's not entirely, I don't entirely believe it, but I think, you know, it's a lot easier to imagine yourself in a leadership position in the church, or as imagine yourself as part of the church and feel yourself represented as a member of the church, where you can see someone who's sort of like you doing something that you might do for the church someday, modeling a kind of service that is available to a person who might be a young woman. I wonder if you could talk a bit about how you have found and searched out your own mentors as a young person in the church.
Sure. I absolutely agree with that assessment, Carrie. I think that you certainly can find role models and mentors and people who can provide guidance, even if they don't look like you or particularly resonate with you. But it is just so vital that we engage with that notion, because young women especially can be anything they want to be and see in the secular sphere women that look like them doing all sorts of things. And so the church is, if women can go to space, the church really is the last frontier on that. I have been extraordinarily blessed because I have a large personality. I am by no stretch of the imagination reserved, and so it's been very easy for me to seek out those mentoring relationships. A structure that was really helpful with that was the ESTEEM program. Engaging Students to Enliven the Ecclesial Mission is the acronym. It's an initiative of the National Leadership Roundtable on Church Management. And I participated in that at Yale's Catholic Center, St. Thomas More. And part of that process was pairing students up with a mentor who is usually in the secular sphere, but very active in their faith life. And so I was paired with Kerry Robinson, who, as it were, is the director of the National Leadership Roundtable on Church Management.
But she'd make a great papal nuncio. I happen to know her. And she's the most diplomatic person I know.
I think she would be perfectly qualified to do all those things we just named.
So right, exactly.
We could call in on that. Who do we call to get her appointed? But so Kerry has been, I think, a perfect example of the need for seeing someone like you. Kerry is a lay person. She has a family. She has committed her life to really serving the church in a variety of capacities and has been very generous and magnanimous with her time and energy to working through discernment with me, connecting me to people, really empowering me in the things that I'm passionate about. So the seeking out of those relationships has been easy for me because I have the personality for it and there are structures that helps. But I think that's why it would be so important for women not only to be in leadership, but visible leadership in the church, because that provides an almost direct line to say, oh, that woman is interested in the same things I'm in or has a similar background to me and she's doing that. I'm capable of doing that. Maybe that's the best way I can serve the church.
Right. I think that makes so much sense. It really does. And you as a young woman, I think a lot of people view young people in the church as sort of, you're the future of the church, but forget that young people are also the church right now. They're not participants in a church that is to come, but participants in a church that currently is, and are participants in making the church what it can be. I wonder what opportunities or challenges you feel, particularly as a young person, in the church right now, as you kind of try to find your way and where you feel called to be.
I absolutely agree with that read, Kerry. I do think that is the challenge I have experienced, is that many folks, in the most well-intentioned of ways, forget that the young people are not only the future, but they are the present of the church. And if we don't really engage them in church life, we'll lose them. There was a very old attitude, which I don't think is promulgated in the church anymore, but that it was okay if young people left because they'll come back to baptize their children or come back to get married.
Right.
And that's really not happening. And I once again, I don't think it was a malicious attitude at all, but just a resignation. And so I see a lot of, as I said, opportunities for the church. When you have young people, they really should be serving on councils within their parish or their diocese. They should be on the finance council if they have the business acumen. You know, if they're out of college and they're working at a firm, why not utilize that skill set? If they are coming to Mass fairly regularly and they want to participate as lectors or Eucharistic ministers, you know, providing the space for them to engage even on just the lower levels of the church keeps them committed and coming back. And I think there are far too many stories of young people being turned away. As I mentioned earlier, the story of my friend Gaia being turned away at the Eucharist. And that's just one of many, many unfortunate events that I think leaves young people with a sour taste in their mouths. And when I hear these stories or I experience them, as the saying goes, I'm ruined for life, both by the Jesuits and by the Catholic Church. I'm in it. You got me forever. there's nothing that can happen that will scare me away. I truly believe that because I am so hard-headed in my love for the church. So I worry not so much about my experiences, but I worry about the 19-year-old, the 24-year-old out there who has one of those and says they're not coming back. And so that really makes, in some sense, young people in the church an endangered species. So we really, the church has to treasure them and really nurture them into leadership roles, not just coming and showing up, but empowering them to take ownership of their faith.
Right. It's not a matter of just numbers.
Yes.
So what absolutely are the next steps in this conversation?
The Voices of Faith conversation,
yeah,
or the one you and I are having?
The Voices of Faith conversation.
Oh, so many questions.
There's an annual gathering, right?
There is an annual gathering, and I think if I had to, my read of the next steps would be twofold. The first is that by bringing this group of international women together, it creates a feeling of connection and Catholicity, mm-hmm. little c Catholicity, amongst women serving the church in the world or really moving to the margins, and that they know they're not alone. So I think that has a cultural component, emotional component that really ripples and resonates. The second next step, I would say, it's always hard to see the fruits of what we do. Now, certainly this event takes place in the heart of the Vatican and is approved by the Secretary of State, and we have the support of the Vatican when we do it. And the plan is hopefully to have the event next year again and keep the conversation going, making it louder and more enthused. But it's always hard to say, well, you know, what if nothing comes of this? What if the Vatican lets us have this event and life carries on, the sun comes up tomorrow as it would have anyway? But I do think that this event is very much the seed planting, as we hear in the prayer that is often attributed to Oscar Romero about prophets of a future not our own.
Right.
I think this event is really about planting the seeds, having the conversation, making the conversation louder and more passionate, so that those who listen and those who are in the media can report it well, those who are in Catholic organizations or within the church structure hear it and take something from it. And we on the panel may never see the fruits of that, but my hope is that my daughters and granddaughters will.
Oh, that is the hope, isn't it? The organization is Voices of Faith, and you can learn more about it at voicesoffaith.org, all one word. Nicole Perrone, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your service to the church.
Oh, thank you so much. This is my pleasure.
Okay. When we come back, we'll be joined by Father Jim Martin, our editor-at-large at America, talking about civility in the ecclesial and public discourse. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129.